All right, let's read together Isaiah chapter 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance, and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I should be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am and no one else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, from the multitude of their sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so, thou shalt be able to profit. If so, be mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that you brought it down to us reliably, and we can count on it and learning from it what you've given us. We thank you for all those that have sacrificed over the centuries to bring it to us, and those that have worked diligently to make sure that we have it in a language that we can understand. And we thank you so much that your word is true, and you validated it so many times in so many ways. May we please, that you would please strengthen our faith in your word, that might arrange our lives accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Isaiah 47. Remember, he's been telling of Cyrus, that Cyrus would arise and conquer Babylon and take over, and that he would use that to reestablish his people back in the land of Israel. So now he is again still, he's rebuking Babylon here in chapter 47. He says, come down and sit in the dust. Well, that's a pretty good come down for a king used to sitting on a throne to have to come down and sit in the dirt. Okay, it's talking about Babylon. You think you're this great and mighty kingdom, and you're going to be humbled. O virgin daughter of Babylon. So he's comparing the country in a feminine sense. You know, a lot of times we refer to ships as ladies. It's an honor to christen their ships as a lady. A country is usually referred to in the feminine as a country. So he's giving the picture of this high and mighty princess who's going to have to come down and sit in the dirt. He said, sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Okay, so he says, you're used to being a princess. You know, think of the princess and the pea, you know, the old fairy tale that she was so pampered and spoiled that she could feel even a pea under all these mattresses and this and that. So very tender and delicate. You're that kind of prince. He's like, okay, you've been this high and mighty princess. Now you're going to be like the slave girl that has to grind the meal. Okay, you're down that. Uncover thy locks. No fancy, beautiful hats. I remember hearing it one time when the queen's budget got cut one year, and they cut out, remember how many thousands of dollars out of their fruit and vegetable budget. And that they said, don't worry, they're not going to suffer malnutrition. That was the fruit and vegetables used to decorate the hats. So they had to cut back on their hat decorations. Okay, but he said, no, you're not going to have a fancy hat anymore. You're just going to be bareheaded like all the poor servant girls. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. So now instead of this mighty princess sitting up there in her elegant gowns, you're more like the servant girl who's to gather her skirts up to walk across the river to go get whatever, or to wait out in the river to get water, wash clothes. You see, you know, beaten clothes on the rocks and that sort of thing. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Okay, we've lost that concept. Used to be naked was to be ashamed. Okay. That was dishonor or whatever. Nowadays, we put it up on billboards and on the internet, and everybody, you post it on Instagram trying to get enough followers and this and that. But actually, to be naked is to be ashamed, okay, not to be properly covered and attired. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man, okay? God says, you're about to have to meet me, but it's not going to be like coming up against another man. You're coming up against the Holy One of Israel. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. So he has wounded. His inheritance. In other words, the reason you conquered Israel, or Judah to be more particular, is because I was punishing them. That's the reason you've done this. But even though thou didst show them no mercy, upon the ancient thou hast very heavily laid thy yoke. Said, but when you conquered my people, you didn't treat them decently. I mean, I did use you to punish them, but you have... you made the old men work heavy labor. You treated them poorly, without mercy. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Said, you didn't learn the lesson. Who goes into captivity is who God is punishing. It wasn't their might. Okay, they said, well, you think you're going to be a kingdom forever. Well, did Babylon make it? No, they didn't. Saddam Hussein tried to reestablish Babylon. He thought he was going to make it a great kingdom again. How'd that work out? Not too well. Okay. What about America? Is America going to last forever? No way. We're just a new young upstart. Okay. Less than 300 years has this country even been close to being a country. That's not very long. And you look at world history, and guess what? We're not going to last forever either. You read in Revelation, there's not a hint of the United States being a power in that. Okay, there's a lot of powers in. There's Gog and Magog, you know, which is probably Russia and Iran and things like that. There's definitely Israel. There's Babylon referred to. There's nothing referring to America. Okay, we seem to think we're going to last forever. We think that we can spend as much money as we want to spend, go into much debt as we want to do, add as many laws and regulations and all this sort of stuff, and we'll be fine, it'll be fine. They even have an economic theory that unfortunately most of our politicians seem to believe is that government spending is limitless. It makes no difference, just print more money. Okay? They really believe that, and they'll never have to pay it back. Our current president, according to his words that he said, he believes inflation is a good thing. Now, he tries to keep it quiet because it cost him votes. In that case, it's not a good thing. But it's fine because he has this huge debt, all this money he wants to spend. And when you run up inflation, it's cheaper to pay back the debt because you're paying it back with smaller dollars. Inflation is the easiest way to steal money from everybody in the country. Anybody who has money out of your salary, out of, you know, they tax out of your salary, but inflation taxes your savings. Because your savings are worth less. And isn't it true? Don't your savings buy less this year than they did last year? Look back further and you see a much bigger gap. Okay? We're not going to last forever. We can't go on doing the things we're doing and continue to last. It's just not happening. Therefore, hear now this. Thou art given to pleasures. Well, that was Babylon. Isn't that us? Given to pleasures. I mean, what do we spend our time doing? Watching movies and being on YouTube and being on Facebook and Instagram and whatever. Doing whatever we want to do. Just that's what we care about. That's what gets sold to us. That's what the commercials are, this and that. And your pleasures. But that saith in thine heart, I am and no one else beside me. We in America have been that, right? Because since the fall of the Soviet Union, we became the one superpower. Instead of the Cold War, where we thought it was a balance between two great superpowers, the United States and the Soviet Union, then the Soviet Union collapsed. And so we think we can control everything. We think we're in charge. We think we have no fear. We're not in as good a control as we thought we were, are we? I shall not sit as a widow. I shall not know the loss of children. I'm going to prosper. It's all going to be fine. Everything's going to keep going great. Don't have a thing to worry about. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment. What? Widowhood and loss of children. Loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Like, we're off doing occult kind of things. And it's true. We are. It's been, you hear stories about going to the White House. Nancy Reagan was consulting a medium, and they were trying to call up. Hillary Clinton supposedly had a medium that was trying to call up Eleanor Roosevelt. And this and that. I mean, if that's not sorcery, I don't know what is. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. But don't we have a lot of that going on? I can get away with all this kind of stuff. It's all covered up and hidden and all that. But there's so much wickedness going on, corruption. There's lots of rumors that fly around. And I agree that not everything you hear is true. But I think if the light was shined and we could see, as God sees, what's really going on, you would be absolutely astounded at the level of corruption in our country. One, in our government, people doing things for their own personal profit, for their own agendas, for all these kind of things that are going. And your neighbors, just people around here, you wouldn't imagine the evil that goes on behind closed doors and under cover of darkness and whatever. There is just some incredible evil going on. And unfortunately, much of it is bubbling to the top. We're now taking some of these incredible evils that used to be hidden in darkness, and we're bringing them out and telling everybody, you got to praise them. You've got to celebrate it. You know, they start off just saying, well, you've got to tolerate it, be tolerant of these different lives. But now they're not happy with that. They're saying you have to celebrate these wicked lifestyles. and this and that. It's going on, and God is not going to tolerate it. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments and the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. Well, it's a little different, but I think nowadays our enchantments and our sorceries are our economic system. We of course, we worship money that becomes our idol, and we have decided that, well, our central bank and all our thing, we can control the economy. So we can break all these laws of economics and still survive because we can control it. We control interest rates. We control this. We control that. Well, about a year ago, what was all this talk? It's like, oh, no, we can keep inflation won't ever happen again. We've got it under control. And then you hear, well, yeah, all the prices are going up, but it's just transitory. You know, it'll pass. Well, transitory, yeah, maybe it'll pass, but in a decade or two. Okay. And we've seen it all before. We did this back in the Carter administration. Okay. We're doing it all again. And our president was around then, too. He's been around a long time. He can't say he hasn't seen it. He's been in Congress and political office for about 50 years, so he's been around. We think we can save ourselves with that. And God said, you can't do it. You're not in control like you think you are. If so, thou shalt be able to profit. If so, thou mayest prevail. So we think we can conquer everything. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. So he's talking about, this is Babylon, right? Babylon has the Chaldeans, the wise men, right? The astronomers, the soothsayers, they were first ones premiering that, you know. The wise men that came to see Jesus because they saw his star in the east. Okay, they saw the stars. Nowadays we have horoscopes, and you know, I don't look, but I'm sure there's a horoscope in our newspaper, local newspaper. Anyone you find, I've never seen a newspaper didn't have a horoscope in it, and I know people who read them faithfully, and they wouldn't do certain things because of what their horoscope said or this and that. I know there's palm readers in our community. I've seen signs advertising it. You sit in the paper, they'll tell your fortune. They'll do that sort of thing. He says, you can trust in that kind of stuff, but it's just sorcery. It's not going to stand up against God. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before. So he said, all the things you're trusting in, okay, in their case, they're wise men, their counselors, their astrologers. Now, I'm not talking about astronomers. Of course, our astronomers believe in a lot of astrology because they believe in all these made-up stories of stellar evolution and billions of years and this and that. They're getting pretty far afield from actually scientific method and facts. But they're talking about the ones that are saying, oh, well, I'm a Taurus, I'm a Leo, I'm a this and that. That's going to control, you know, how the stars were on the day you're born controls your fate and all that kind of stupid stuff. You know, as a matter of fact, their charts are even off because they set up the charts. There's been enough change in the orientation of the earth and the rotation of the earth that those signs and everything are about a month off anyway. So if you're a Taurus, you really might be something else, you know, if it was really by the stars. But it's not by the stars, it's by their books. They've stuck with the same books that were written long ago. And he's saying, that's all going to burn up like stubble. Okay, it's not going to burn up like a good bonfire, a nice, you know, in cold weather, it's a nice to have a good fire in the fireplace or sit out by a bonfire. So it's not like that. It burns like stubble. Like, we used to make a bonfire out of tumbleweeds. Okay? That wasn't something you could roast marshmallows on. Okay? You can make a nice stack of tumbleweeds. They stack up pretty nice and kind of gets, sometimes people in West Texas, they make Christmas trees out of them, you know, which, hey, use what you got. But it always scares me because it takes very little to set off a stack of tumbleweeds. One little spark and get, you want to know how a stack of tumbleweeds burns? That's about it. Okay. Forget roasted marshmallows. It's over. Okay. You never get a hot dog done. He said, it's not even going to be a fire that you can sit at and warm yourself with. It's not even going to be a useful fire. They're just going to be destroyed. Thus shall be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Okay. When it's time for God's judgment, your economy is not going to save you. Okay. It's not going to save us either. We are so conceited over here. We think, well, we've got the mightiest army on earth. And that might be true. But we haven't been able to do much to stop the aggression of Russia. China is building an incredible army. We can't even control North Korea. They got nuclear weapons that they can launch, and they could hit various targets over there. I think they're pretty sure they could hit the Hawaiian Islands and probably the west coast of the United States with nuclear weapons. This one little rogue regime that doesn't even have any lights on at night, they're so poor, can do that. We're not in very good control, are we? Matter of fact, our economy could topple before you know it. Go on to chapter 48. Now in chapter 48, Isaiah makes a little bit of a transition. Okay, it's all been like, okay, Babylon, you've had it. You know, first it was Israel, I'm going to judge you, and he does, he takes them into Babylon. But then he encouraged them and said, it's okay, I'm going to send somebody that's going to send you back to the land, Cyrus. But he says, Babylon, you're going to pay the price because you didn't fear me. You didn't treat the people right when I used you. So now he's making the transition that Isaiah has his telescope out now. He was looking 150 years into the future, but now he's looking to the great Redeemer when Jesus Christ is going to return. He's looking further out into the future. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. A lot of people call on God, but they're not calling on the God of the Bible. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. Okay. I think about AD 70. Okay, Jesus. Remember on his Olivet discourse when his disciples asked him, when would these days of judgment come? When he told them that not one stone would stand upon another and that sort of thing. What they did when the Romans, they rebelled against Rome and the Romans came and besieged Jerusalem itself, they thought, well, God, we're the people of Israel. God is going to save us. So they all ran inside Jerusalem and hid in the temple because they thought, God won't allow this temple to be destroyed. Well, you were probably safer out there with the Romans than you were inside Jerusalem and the temple because there was such wickedness and evil going on. Okay, Josephus, the great historian, the Jews despised him because he went over and joined the Romans. But guess what? He lived through it, which is better than most of them did. You know, thousands were killed. They thought they were relying on God, but just in name only. They weren't serving him by any means. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Again, God says, I'll put my reputation on the line. I'll prove to you that I'm the real God, because I told you way back there what was going to happen, and it happened. That's pretty good proof. And nobody else can do that. Only the true God, because he's the only one in control. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow is brass. He said, I know you were stubborn. I knew you needed proof. Okay? Well, God doesn't owe us any proof. But guess what he does anyway? Because he knows how stubborn and rebellious we are. So he gives us absolute proof if we're just willing to see it. I was listening to this one man, Mike Durrell. He's fun. He's from Louisiana, and he's a former Catholic. And so he and his wife got married. He was Catholic. She was Jehovah's Witness. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's not a very compatible bunch, is it? Okay. And so he said they would talk about, said, well, you know, we're going to raise our kids. And he's like, and they're going to be Catholic, just like my, he said, I'm 10th generation Catholic. They're going to be Catholic. She's like, no, they're not. They're going to be good Jehovah's Witnesses. This and that. And he said they got the point. They couldn't have a civil discussion anymore. They absolutely wouldn't. And so finally there, he was like, look, we got to get this worked out or we're never going to make it. You know, I remember my grandfather, who was a Baptist preacher, this one lady was interested in him at a time when he was single. This lady was interested in him and was calling him all the time and chasing him. And he told her, forget it. He said, this would never work out because she was Church of Christ. And he was Baptist. And I tell you what, Church of Christ and Baptists are a whole lot closer than Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, but he told her, he said, look, we're more spiritual than we are physical, so I don't care how nice looking you are. This will never work. Okay, so Mike Durrell told his wife, he said, look, we got to do something about this or we're never going to be able to stay together. How are we going to raise our kids? Which one is true? And so he said, look, you know, we're going to raise them Catholic. You are a member of a cult. She said, me? You're a member of the biggest cult there is. They were both right. And so he said, all right, I'm going to prove it to you. So he went off and he got out his Bible and he said, I am going to prove to her. He said, I will prove to you according to the Bible that I'm right. That Catholicism is the one true religion. And she said, fine, I will prove to you from the Bible that Jehovah's Witnesses is the one true religion. So he said they went off for a while and studied and this and that. Then finally he told her, he said, come on, let's go out to dinner because we got to talk. And so they went, and he said, we went on, and he's like, okay, I got to tell you something. She's like, no, I got to tell you something first. It's important. He's like, no, I got to tell you first. Mine is more important. No, she's like, I got to tell you first, this and that. He said, as you know, the wife always wins eventually, so I let her go first. And she said, Jehovah's Witness is not right according to the Bible. It's a false religion. He said, wow. Catholicism is not right according to the Bible either. It's a false religion. So they both got saved. Because they went to what? The Bible, the source of truth. Okay? Because that was the absolute, that's why they won. That's why they got saved. Is they didn't say, well, I'm Catholic. You know, if he went by his Catholic raising, if he went by his parents and grandparents and on back and this and that, what do you mean? He'd still be Catholic. Should still be Jehovah's Witness. But they went to the ultimate source of authority, the Bible, and said, what's right by the Bible? That's what we have to do for everything that comes up. What is right according to the Bible? Okay? And they did. So they got saved from that. God knows we're stubborn. Stiff-necked is the popular phrase, but that just means we're hard-headed. That's what it means. But he's given us proof. It's there. It's in the Bible. All you got to do is be willing to open your eyes and see it. Now, not everybody that reads the Bible sees it. Isaac Asimov was an atheist. He called himself an agnostic, but he was an atheist. He knew the Bible, but he wouldn't open his eyes and see it. But if we go to the Bible really looking for truth, you'll find it. And there is incontrovertible proof there. It's there. So God says, I told you from the beginning what was going to happen. That ought to cover it. And he's not kidding from the beginning, is he? I mean, Genesis chapter 3 was the first time he told us that he was going to send a Messiah, the seed of the woman. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Well, don't we love to say, and one of our favorite things to say is, I told you so? Why do we like to say that? Because it means you were right from the beginning. Okay? So I told you, this is what would happen. If you did, this is what would happen. Well, God's got the ultimate, I told you so. And guess what? When Jesus Christ comes back in judgment, and remember, there's going to be people saying, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't we do all these things in your name? He's going to say, I never knew you. I told you from the beginning that there's one way of saying, but Lord, I was a good, faithful Muslim. I did all these good works. I followed this and that, and I was raised that way, and I didn't know the difference in this and that. He's like, sorry. There's only one way of salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. And he told you. I don't care what C.S. Lewis thinks or whoever else thinks. That's what the Bible says. And God will just say, I told you. I told you. Lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them. He knows what we're like. We'll give the credit to the wrong thing. You know, I prayed to my idol and it happened and this and that. He's like, no, your idol can't tell you from the beginning, whatever. You can take after the fact something that does happen and attribute it to anything you want to. But nobody but God can tell you beforehand, this is what's going to happen. And then it happens. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. You can't say, well, I always knew that. I knew that. Well, some people are like that. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. Oh, I knew that. Anyway, well, you can say that after the fact. Tell me before it happens. And then I'll believe you. Then it happens. Then it's like, okay, fine. But no, after say, well, I knew that would happen. It's like, well, I knew it now, too. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. God's not fooled. He knows what men are like. He knows we're deceitful and unworthy. He said, no, that's why I made it where you couldn't say it was something else. You can't read the Bible and give the credit to anybody else but God. It was his plan from the beginning. This whole thing about Jesus Christ, that he was going to come and that he was going to die and then be raised again, they didn't understand that from the beginning. But it was there. God told us from the very beginning what was going to happen. Then it happened. He said, I knew you were a transgressor from the womb. In other words, we're all born evil. Forget this progressive, well, people are just really good, and if we just get them in the right environment, and baloney. But we've based so much on that idea. You know, our prison system, okay, is based on the idea that we're going to reform people. Okay? Look, people do reform, yes, either because if they had any sense, they'd reform anyway. But God's the only one who can change people. Okay. Our reformatories are not the way. Turning these people loose, turning all these violent criminals loose that these progressive prosecutors seem to like to do these days. What do they do? What do murderers do when you let them out of prison? They kill people. Somehow it hasn't sunk into us that murderers kill people. You know, past performance may not guarantee future performance, as they say in the stock market, but it's a pretty good indicator. What people have done in the past, they'll probably do again in the future, unless there's some reason they've changed. For my name's sake will I defer in mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee that I cut thee not off. So God's saying, it's only because I love you that I haven't just wiped you out. Okay? You deserve it. But God is willing to forgive because he loves us. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So God took his people Israel. Being in captivity in Babylon was no picnic. Okay. Even for Daniel and his friends. You know, and they were in the upper echelons in this. And they said, well, they did pretty well. Well, Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. His friends got thrown in the furnace. But God said, I've used it to refine you. He said, that's how we refine, that's how we turn ore with silver into it, into a precious metal through refining. He said, you're not silver, but I've refined you to be something better. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. Well, look at it. God doesn't allow them to get away with this idol worship stuff. And I don't think he's going to allow all these cults that have a false Jesus to get away with saying, oh, well, we're just Christian too. Mormons very intentionally claim to be just another denomination of Christianity. They know different. They do it intentionally. It's part of their public relations campaign. If anybody knows how to do public relations, it's the Mormons. If you see their ads and this and that, it's, oh, we're this nice family and we're oriented, all this kind of stuff. They know they don't worship the God of the Bible. Okay? It's totally different. I've had Muslims tell me, Allah is the same as the God of the Bible. Oh, really? Then why did he start as an idol to the moon out in some tent that Muhammad stole and then killed all the fellow countrymen over it? That's not the God of the Bible. It's public relations. Matter of fact, the Catholic Church, who's doing probably the best job of all convincing people that they're just another, they're the true Christian religion. Guess what the Catholic Church officially says? No one who is not a Catholic, a member of the Catholic Church, is going to heaven. Guess what? All of you have been anathemized. That means you're going to hell. By councils, declarations of the Pope, everything official in the Catholic Church says exactly that. And then they come around and they try to do these, and we've got these Catholics and evangelicals together. You've got these Christians organizations who are working with the Catholics and coming back. They're trying to bring back in the Episcopals and this and that. It's like, not compatible. It's not the same thing. God said, I will not give my glory to another. He's going to take the credit for what he does. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. Did somebody else say that? Jesus Christ. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last. God has said here in Isaiah, I am the only Savior. What did Jesus Christ say? He's the Savior of the world. Because he's God. He can claim all these things that only belong to God. Matter of fact, when he was executed, and people started to say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, and he was a good man, he was a prophet, he was this and that, but he's not God. That didn't work. If Jesus was a good man, how could he go around claiming to be God? He's either a bald-faced liar or a lunatic. If I stand up here and claim to be God, you better get the guys down here with the white suit with the long arms that tie in the back. Okay? Because I'm not. But Jesus Christ claimed he was God. So either you got to accept him as he is or write him off as the worst liar in the history of the world. You can't take him as just a good man. Oh, he was good. But even Jesus, when the rich young ruler said, oh, good master. He said, no one is a good except the Father. said, only God is truly good. In other words, if you're going to call me good, you better call me God. Mine hand also hath laid the foundations of the earth. Who else can say that? Well, these days we think some giant explosion of nothing laid the foundations of the earth. That's a pretty big claim, isn't it? God said, no, I did it. And my right hand spanned the heavens. That's pretty much encompasses everything, right? Built the earth and spread out the heavens with the palm of his hand. That didn't leave room for any of these other piddly gods. When I called unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things. Can any other god claim that one? You know, all those Greek gods, they couldn't claim that. They came out of the chaos that the universe came out of too. They just happened to wind up as gods. They can't claim that. Nobody else but the one true God can claim that he's created the universe. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. God said, I'm going to use Babylon any way I want to. I can use them to refine my people, and I can punish them. I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Well, immediate context, Cyrus. God has called Cyrus to come conquer Babylon. Okay? But guess what? We're looking, I told you, the long telescope now. What's it talk about in Revelation? It talks about Babylon again, but more in the spiritual sense, as the evil system of this world. And guess what? Jesus Christ is going to come and conquer. He's looking not to Cyrus. He's looking to Jesus Christ. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Okay. This is the Messiah speaking. Okay. First he said, you know, I've told you the stuff from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. What is God's name? Yahweh. I am that I am. Well, people say, well, Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. He didn't. That's what they killed him for. The Jewish religious council certified that he was guilty of blasphemy by claiming to be God. I think he claimed to be God. He said, I am. You know? And people notice when they came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas led him and betrayed him with a kiss, he said, who have you come for? I said, we've come from Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell over backwards. Okay? This was not an idle claim. He claimed to be the God, the creator of heaven and earth. And now the Lord God, okay, God Almighty, the God in heaven, the Father, and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, hath sent me, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There he goes. You got the Trinity right there in the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Okay, only God, it says that over and over in Isaiah, only God can save. He is the only Redeemer. Then who is Jesus Christ? The Redeemer. His name, Jesus, means Savior, Redeemer. Okay? Then, by Jesus claiming to be the Savior, he's claiming to be God, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then have thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. We sing, when peace like a river. Who's peace like a river? Jesus Christ is the one who gives us peace like a river. His salvation is ever renewed and flowing. Thy righteousness like waves of the sea. Okay? He is the one true God. He is the only Savior. Thy seed also have been as the sand, the offspring, the boughs like the gravel of thyself. His name shall not be cut off nor destroyed from before me. Okay? He promised Abraham, his descendants shall be as the sand of the sea. He said, here it is. I fulfill my promise. Go ye forth of Babylon, free ye from the Chaldeans. He said, I'm going to bring you out of Babylon. With a voice of singing declare ye. Tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. God has fulfilled his promise. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. And he said, this is future to them at that point. They got 150 years to go before he brings them out of Babylon. Not even in Babylon when he wrote this. But he surely does. But he says, remember back, I'm good as my word. You remember back all those stories you were told growing up? When he brought the people, separated the Red Sea, walked across on dry land, took them through the desert, and he fed them with manna from heaven, and he provided water from a rock. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. Okay. I've never seen that. Have you? A rock out in the desert gushes forth water. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Okay. He promised peace and redemption. Who? For the ones that follow him. But for the wicked, there is no peace. Right. So Jesus Christ is the only peace, the only way of peace. So. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you've given us so many proofs that we really can. If we really want to know the answer, you've got it right here. You've written it down in your word where we can read it, see what you've said, see that it came true, and just use that to strengthen our faith that all your other promises will come true as well. And you have promised that the wicked will not prosper. And you've promised that those who trust in you will be saved. Father, we just put our trust in you and in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.